we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young. Welcome to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. It's the ninth day of action at the International Football Fiesta in Russia. In Friday's opening match, Brazil defeated Costa Rica 2-0 in St. Petersburg, Russia. For a post-match report, let's go to Krestovsky Stadium in St. Petersburg and reporter Stefan Lovgren. Stefan, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
Late goals from Coutinho and superstar Neymar lift Brazil to a 2-0 victory. Stefan, recap the scoring for our Voice of America listeners.
Boy, it came very late to both of those goals in added time. That second half, Brazil, they were very labored in the first half. They did not get going at all, and it wasn't until the second half that they started creating some chances. And once they did, they had the Costa Rica goalkeeper, Keylor Navas, under a barrage for a while, but couldn't score. And it wasn't until the added time that Coutinho was able to put the goal in the net.
In their previous match against Switzerland, the Swiss fouled Neymar 10 times. Did the Costa Ricans focus on Neymar defensively?
They certainly did. They were targeting him with some success in the first half, and you could tell that he got very frustrated. We could see in the press box that he had a word with the referee at halftime, in fact, and I don't think the referee was too happy with that. But Neymar had a very good second half, but he also was awarded a penalty that was overturned by the video replay system. And I think that was the first time that that has been the case in this World Cup, where a penalty decision has been overturned.
Stefan, what about that last goal by Brazil? Neymar kind of flicking it into the net with his left foot. Can that maybe spark him to maybe some greater performances?
I think it can. I think it meant the world to him to get that goal after all the pressure that he's been under. It was an easy tap-in, and Brazil had basically already secured the win. But there's no doubt that it meant the world to him. And you could see that after the final whistle, with Neymar falling into a heap on the pitch and breaking down in tears. You could see what it meant to him. He's been under such a tremendous pressure, being criticized for playing selfishly, perhaps, and engaging in a little bit of showboating. And word has it that Coach Tite told him to sort of ease up on that and play more for the team. I think he did that in this game, and certainly in the second half he showed he is the star player of the Brazilian team.
The Brazilian team, arguably the most popular team in the world, Stefan. How would you describe the fans there at Krestovsky Stadium in St. Petersburg?
There are always good times for Brazilian fans. But I have to say, it was somewhat of a subdued atmosphere before kickoff, at least by Brazilian standards. I think, you know, it just seemed like there was a sense of apprehension associated with the team after that draw against Switzerland. But it was also funny because I was traveling out here on the subway on the St. Petersburg Metro along with the Brazilian fans, and much of their attention seemed to be focused on Argentina. There were chantings of Messi Ciao in the subway car ringing out on the train coming out here. So that's, of course, the great Brazilian-Argentinian rivalry, and there's a lot of Brazilians taking some pleasure in the fact that Argentina seems to be on the brink of elimination.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm talking with reporter Stefan Lovgren, who is at Krestovsky Stadium in St. Petersburg, Russia, just after Brazil's 2-0 victory over Costa Rica. Stefan, if we look at the star power at this World Cup in Russia, Neymar, Messi, Ronaldo, arguably the three biggest stars in Russia, who do you think is at the top in terms of performance?
Well, I think it's hard to ignore the fact that Ronaldo has scored four goals and obviously been very instrumental in the victories of his team. I think that Messi looked very frustrated yesterday, just hasn't got going. Neymar today shows once again that he is a tremendous talent. And I think that once he can now play with a little bit less pressure, perhaps, you know, having scored that goal and Brazil having taken a command of this group. And I think that's going to do the team a lot of good, too, because you get the feeling that they can start playing more freely. And that goes for Neymar also. So I think going forward, Neymar is going to be very important for the Brazil team.
The Brazil team now travels to Moscow for its final group match against Serbia on June 27th. How do you see that match, Stefan?
The fact that Brazil has taken a command of this group now, they have 4 points and they're leading the group, I think that's going to do them a lot of good. You do get the sense that this Brazilian juggernaut is sort of picking up steam. And I think against Serbia, they are certainly going into that game as favorites. And I would think that they will win that game.
You mentioned earlier about traveling on the subway. Maybe some general thoughts on transportation overall at this World Cup for journalists and fans alike.
Oh, it's funny you should ask that, because I just had a conversation with someone asking me about that. And I just took a night train from Moscow to St. Petersburg today, and it was absolutely fantastic. Everything worked like clockwork. And in fact, we rolled into the St. Petersburg train station right on the dot when we were supposed to arrive, when the train was supposed to arrive after a 9-hour train ride. It's been such a well-organized tournament so far for journalists and for the fans.
Are you seeing many African fans in Russia?
We do see quite a few African fans, not just fans of the teams that might be playing that day, but also fans from other African countries. For example, you know, when I was at the Senegal game the other day, there were a lot of fans from countries like Cameroon, Ghana, Ethiopia, Kenya. I spoke with many of them, and people who were saying that they had come there to support the African teams. They saw the Senegal as their brothers, and they're here to support the other African teams.
Stefan Lovgren reporting from Krestovsky Stadium in St. Petersburg, Russia. Stefan, thanks for talking with us once again.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In Friday's second match in Russia, Nigeria is playing Iceland in Volgograd, Russia. Right now, we're in the 79th minute, and the Super Eagles of Nigeria have spread their wings and soared over the Icelanders. They lead 2-0 in the 80th minute. The goal-scoring hero for the Super Eagles, Ahmed Musa, a brace in the second half. Musa with goals, interestingly, Ahmed Musa now has 4 World Cup goals. He scored 2 for Nigeria in a 3-2 loss to Argentina at the 2014 World Cup in Brazil, but he scored 2 second-half goals for Nigeria. Right now, we're in the 80th minute, so if the Super Eagles can hold on, they will be the second African team to win at Russia 2018. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports shout-out to Ahmed Musa! Ahmed Musa! You're going to be seeing headlines with his name on it on Saturday in Nigerian newspapers. Ahmed Musa! Joining us now from Russia's capital, Moscow, with more World Cup news is our Daybreak Africa sportsman, Samson Omale. Sporty World Cup greetings, Samson!
Sporty World Cup greetings to you, Sonny. Welcome to Day 9 of the Soccer Extravaganza here in Russia as the 21st edition of the FIFA World Cup continues with second round of matches in the group stage. Tunisia goalkeeper Moouz Hassan has taken to social media to pay tribute to his coach Nabil Maloul after injury prematurely ended the stopper's World Cup hopes. Hassan was a surprise pick to start the Carthage Eagles opener against England, but lasted just 16 minutes before being replaced after picking up a shoulder injury. On Wednesday, it was confirmed that the Stoppers tournament was over. Staying with the Tunisian national team, Tunisian defender Johan Benaloune says his side remains confident they can progress despite losing their opening match to England. Ahead of their game against Belgium, Johan Benaloune admits that the road to qualifying for the next round is tough, but not impossible.
We know the first game is always important for the mental, for the confidence, and for the team. But football is like this. Sometimes you lose, sometimes you win. This time we lose, though we have to learn for the next game. I think the team expected to play against a good team, against Belgium, and they want to work again because it will be a tough game, another tough game, and for this we have to prepare in really good shape, and we are confident. The first game, it was important, but it's finished. Now we have to think about the second game. We have to win. It's important for the head, it's important for the team, for the confidence, and for the result, because now we don't have any way. We have just one way, win for the qualification, and they have amazing players like Hazard, like Lukaku, De Bruyne, obviously. So we have to be focused on there, but we have to be focused on the team of Tunisia, because the more important is play like we know to play and make the game, and don't wait and expect it about the other player, obviously. So the most important here will be Tunisia, and we have to be focused on...
And it's been a week since the 2018 FIFA World Cup started in Russia, and for many fans, there's been a mix of joy and pain as their team either are on the verge of being knocked out of the competition or have performed dismally. Egypt and Morocco, two of Africa's five representatives, were knocked out in the first week of competition.
We wish they will be in quarter this year. And the first match versus Iran, we think we will win. The second match with Portugal and Spain, we will try to do good.
I mean, it's my sixth World Cup, so I'm experienced at it all, you know. And the people here are just fantastic. The city is amazing. Absolutely amazing. Yeah. But I'm not worried about things like that, because at a tournament there's a lot of security anyway.
FIFA has announced that more than 1 million fans have attended games at the World Cup. FIFA, in a statement released on Thursday after Denmark's 1-1 draw with Australia, said on average, World Cup stadium occupancy is at 97%, and more than 70,000 tickets have been resold. From Mexico to Peru, Portugal to Croatia, most of the fans from these countries have added color and vibrancy to the World Cup. Senegal is still the only country from the five African representatives to have won their opening game, beating Poland 2-1. As the second round of matches gets underway, pressure is on Nigeria and Tunisia to avoid elimination. Super Eagles coach Gerard Ross says today's match, which is currently underway against Iceland, could be a difficult one.
We must be ready with a good organization against a different team from Iceland. It's different like Croatia, so we have also to adapt our organization on this different team we will play against. They do so well, they did so great match against Argentina. We know it will be very difficult to beat them. They are very good players. They are playing like a team.
So far, Russia has put up an impressive tournament with no reported case of any glitch or security breach at any of the venues. Though this tournament is on the verge of becoming a World Cup with the highest number of own goals, big teams like the defending champion Germany continue to seek for their first wins, while Lionel Messi of Argentina could see his team exit from the tournament. From Moscow here in Russia, Samson Omale is back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. If you're just tuning in now to the VOA, the Super Eagles of Nigeria lead Iceland 2-0 in the 86th minute. The goal-scoring hero for the Super Eagles is Ahmed Musa. He has goals in the second half in the 49th minute and the 75th minute to give Nigeria that 2-0 lead. Sigurdsson for Iceland had a chance to cut the lead in half, but he missed from the penalty spot in the 83rd minute. Right now, we're in the 87th minute, the final few minutes of play. Ahmed Musa's two second-half goals have given Nigeria a 2-0 lead, and it looks like the Super Eagles of Nigeria will become the second African team to win at Russia 2018. And once again, I'm going to make a prediction on Saturday in Nigerian newspapers. You're going to see the name Ahmed Musa. Ahmed Musa, the goal-scoring hero for the Super Eagles. Joining us now with more World Cup news is my Voice of America colleague, Gwen Uten. And Gwen kicks off with some match predictions by a Nigerian prophet. Sporty World Cup greetings, Gwen.
Sporty World Cup greetings, Sonny. During this World Cup tournament, it was reported that Nigerian fans asked if it was possible to enter the stadium with live chickens to bring them good luck. Their request was denied, and it was later reported that fans emphatically disputed that the requests were ever made. Well, ahead of Nigeria's match against Iceland, there were feathers and also prayers and prophecies.
Hey! The Iceland you see today, today, 2-0.
No!
Nigeria 2, Iceland 0.
This Nigerian prophet rang a bell, chanted a prayer, waved some feathers, and predicted, not surprisingly, a win for Nigeria. However, that forecast was quickly brushed off by Iceland supporters.
No. We are going to win this match 2-1.
They're saying 2-0.
Yeah, that's their problem.
Absolutely. No, there's no chance. Even though their dance is good, but they won't have a chance.
Iceland will next play Croatia on Tuesday. Nigeria faces Argentina in their final group match that same day. Speaking of Argentina, Argentine fans may still very well be in shock after Thursday's 3-1 loss against Croatia. Stunned fans left the stadium in disbelief about the outcome. This Argentine fan says he's not looking forward to their next match against Nigeria.
We are not attacking. We don't know how we go to the court, and we don't know what to do. So, Sampaoli, please prepare the team because they don't know what to do.
Hola, you think Nigeria will be better?
To be honest, I don't know. I don't know because each time we go to the court, it's like a bet. We don't know if it's going to be well or not. It's like just guess.
On the other hand, jubilant Croatian fans were already claiming the World Cup title.
We are the world champion already.
We are so excited. We are not expecting 3 goals in one match, so we are really, really happy. I don't know what to say. So emotional. Thank you.
Croatia defeated Nigeria 2-0 last Saturday, and with Thursday's 3-0 win against Argentina, Croatia has cruised into the World Cup knockout stage. As I mentioned, their next match will be against Iceland on Tuesday. Argentina's match against Nigeria is on that same day. Argentina, who are twice world champions, have struggled in this tournament. After last weekend's loss, Argentina's coach urged fans not to blame Leo Messi when games don't go as planned, but appreciate all he's done for his team. Well, that shouldn't be a problem for this guy.
I have a great tattoo of Leo Messi because I love him. He's the best player and a good person. This is the most important of him. And the tattoo is the last year I make the tattoo with Roberto Lopez. He's the same tattoo maker that Leo Messi.
That is diehard mega fan Gonzalo Caruso sporting an impressive lifelike tattoo of Messi down his left lower leg. Well, no matter what becomes of Argentina in this World Cup, Caruso and Messi will be together for a long, long time. Also on Thursday, France defeated Peru 1-0. France supporters who watched the match on a mega screen chanted Kylian Mbappe's name after his game-winning goal. And at age 19, Mbappe is now France's youngest scorer at the World Cup. France claimed victory and sent the South Americans out of the tournament. After the match, this France supporter said their win was hard fought.
Unfortunately for Peru, they couldn't make it, but it was difficult. The second half was tougher than we thought.
This year marks Peru's first appearance in the World Cup since 1982, and Peruvian fans took the loss with a mixture of sadness and pride.
Not disappointed, sad. But we are really proud of this team. Like last year, we didn't have World Cup. And this year, we have.
And the fans, we are very proud of our you know, fellow Peruvian people. We all came here. We sacrificed everything. And still, you see, we all became united. And this is what sport is all about. This is what soccer, football is all about. You come together, you celebrate football, and you give it your best.
Yes.
That's what we did.
Yes,
we are good.
Yeah, we are very happy with the performance. We are very happy with our people. We are very proud of our team.
Peru will play their final game against Australia on Tuesday. And I'd like to give a quick mention here that U.S. referee Mark Geiger has been cleared of accusations made by Morocco's Nordin Amrabat that Geiger asked for a Portuguese player's jersey during their match on Wednesday. Morocco complained of impartial behavior on the part of the American official in an interview following their 1-0 loss. That match was Geiger's first on-field assignment in this tournament. In a Thursday interview with the Washington Post, a FIFA official stated that the organization condemns all allegations and confirms Geiger acted in a, quote, exemplary and professional manner as an appointed match official, end quote. And with that, I will end the week. There is so much more to come, so enjoy the game, sports fans. And Sonny, have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen, and I hope you have a good weekend, too. That's my Voice of America colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Let's go back to Volgograd, Russia. Right now, we're in the closing minutes of play. 94th minute, injury time. The Super Eagles of Nigeria on the verge of winning their first match at Russia 2018. They hold a 2-0 lead over Iceland. Just a couple minutes left in the game. Ahmed Musa is the goal-scoring hero for the Super Eagles. Two second-half goals by Musa in the 49th minute and the 75th minute. Taking a look at the World Cup history books, Ahmed Musa now has 4 World Cup goals on his World Cup resume. He also scored 2 goals against Argentina at the 2014 World Cup in Brazil. That was a loss to Argentina. Interestingly, the Super Eagles will now play Argentina in their last group match next week. That's shaping up as a great match. It's going to be must-win for Argentina. They have to beat Nigeria to advance to the knockout stage. As it stands now in Nigeria's group, Nigeria is going to pick up 3 points. They're going to be ahead of Argentina and Iceland in the standings. Croatia already through to the knockout round after that 3-0 thrashing of Argentina. But once again, Nigeria on the verge of winning its first match at Russia 2018. They lead Iceland 2-0. We're in the closing minutes. And once again, when you check your Nigerian newspapers on Saturday, you're going to see the name of Ahmed Musa. And that wraps up the June 22nd special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to my Voice of America producer, Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer, Nick Ivanov. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a good weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
For nearly a decade now, Boko Haram has used violence in an effort to force its twisted ideology on the people of northeast Nigeria, and has also launched vicious attacks in Cameroon, Niger, and Chad. At least 20,000 civilians have been killed in the conflict, and hundreds of thousands more across the Lake Chad Basin are suffering extreme hardship as a result of this violence. Indeed, Boko Haram and its offshoot, ISIS West Africa, has contributed to a major humanitarian crisis in the region. Some 2.5 million people have been displaced, and nearly 11 million people across the region need assistance to survive. The Lake Chad Basin humanitarian emergency is among the most severe in the world. People affected by the ongoing conflict are facing hunger in northeast Nigeria, including over 1 million in hard-to-reach areas due to Boko Haram's presence. According to the Famine Early Warning Systems Network, at least 1 in 5 households in Nigeria's Adamawa, Borno, and Yobe states may not be able to feed themselves without aid, or may often go hungry through this coming September. Elsewhere, a significant number of people in Cameroon's far north region, Chad's Lac region, and Niger's Diffa region may also find it difficult to obtain enough food through September. On June 7th, U.S. Ambassador to Nigeria Stuart Symington announced nearly $112 million in additional humanitarian assistance to those needing help in the Lake Chad Basin, including nearly $102 million for people in Nigeria. The funds will provide life-saving aid to hundreds of thousands of people, including emergency food, nutrition treatment, shelter, health care, safe drinking water, services for survivors of sexual violence, and support to children separated from their families. The United States is the largest donor for the humanitarian response in the Lake Chad region. Since October 2016, the United States has provided nearly $761 million in humanitarian aid to the region. The United States remains committed to helping the people affected by the terrorist group Boko Haram and its offshoot, ISIS West Africa. A comprehensive political and security solution is ultimately the only way to bring peace to the region and end the suffering of the people there. The United States calls on the global community to follow our example and donate generously to address the basic life-saving needs of the displaced and the communities that host them.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. VOA. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our 5-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Next on the program, can Addis Ababa revive a collapsed peace deal to end South Sudan's civil war? We'll talk about this and more with J. Peter Pham, director of the Africa Center at the Atlantic Council, and Joshua Meservey, senior policy analyst for Africa at the Heritage Foundation. That's Encounter this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Savor the flavor of African music. I'm Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Tune in, feast your ears, and dig in to an hour of amazing Pan-African music, featured interviews, and music news. Music Time in Africa, Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Sporty greetings to all our VOA listeners. This is Sonny Young, host of The Sunny Side of Sports.
We will rock you.
Please join me at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC, Monday through Friday, for special World Cup updates during the month-long football festival in Russia. Right here on The Voice of America.